This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you for joining us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. We are once more broadcasting from the floor of the exhibit hall at the Heartbeat International Conference, which is Heartbeat International is an organization that equips those in the pregnancy help movement, including pregnancy help centers and maternity homes, ultrasound ministries, everyone who wants to uphold the cause of life through various means in the pro-life movement and the pregnancy help movement. And we've met many, many fascinating guests in the course of spending time at this conference, none more so than the person you're about to meet, Sherry Richard, who is an obstetrical ultrasound expert and educator who founded Soundwave Images back in the day. Sherry, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Oh, thank you, Kim.
We have been talking with some folks that have taken the ultrasound ministry to the next level with mobile vans that are kind of like spas with massage chairs and whatnot. Can you even have imagined it back in 1990?
Never. You know, it's amazing as I look back being the pioneer that started all this through my VHS video back in 1990, Window to the Womb. People hadn't seen those beautiful ultrasound images, and oh gosh, by the grace of God, he took this little window to the womb in 12 languages around the world before internet days and just planted me as a seed to start the first pregnancy center. And here we are, like you said, at Heartbeat, seeing these big mobile units, and it's saving lives and it's making a difference.
Before ultrasound was introduced into the pregnancy help centers, and you know, there's, for those not aware of it, there's still a divide of the 3,000 or so pregnancy centers in the United States. Some are medical, some are not, which means they have an ultrasound capability and someone, you know, an ultrasonographer as well as a radiologist maybe to read those images. Others are simply, you know, they will do a free pregnancy test, but they're not, they don't have medical staff. So when you pioneered this, bringing ultrasound into the pregnancy help movement back in 1990, tell me about what that was like. Many of us, some people still aren't aware that there is a pregnancy help movement. Shockingly enough, even within the church, I find that the awareness is just not there. But what was it like in 1990 for you to say, you know what, this is something that this movement needs?
You know, being a sonographer, and I was registered way back in 1980, so I was, again, the pioneer when ultrasound was invented. And I saw the difference that people would, when women would see the ultrasounds, what it would make. And yet I was told to turn the monitors in the hospitals and clinics I worked so that the moving image of her baby wouldn't influence her choice. And then I said, well, what's choice? I thought that's choice, make an informed decision. And then I realized as I researched that they were not pro-choice. And as a result of my abortions and my pain, I made a commitment to God that I was going to use ultrasound to show life, to get the truth out and share my abortion and healing to help those that have been through it. And it was hard. I argued with God. I go, how am I going to do this? But I was obedient. And he, in my prayers, he showed me that the fruit of my seeds would just take off through his grace. And that's what I'm seeing today.
Sherry is our guest, Sherry Richard, and she's an ultrasound nurse, obstetrical ultrasound expert, I should say, an educator. And, you know, Sherry, I have had an abortion as well, and I fell for the line, even though I was an educated young woman, I fell for the line that it was tissue, and they spoke about a pregnancy. There was no other in the equation for the choice. And when I was in the healing process and coming to terms with what had happened, and with the humanity of the child whose life had been lost and who, with whom I had a hand in ending that life, I the first time I saw images of fetal photography, very gentle images, not abortion pictures, but just fetal development, it was so shattering because it became real. And I'm sure, you know, for those confronted with ultrasound evidence, it's in the very beginning extremely difficult and yet a really important part of the healing. Talk about that. Talk about the power of these images.
Oh, Kim, you just hit it right where it is. Ultrasound can be used to bring down the walls of our denial. But sometimes if those walls of denial are brought down and the truth exposed and not covered with love and counseling, it can destroy her. And that's what it did to me. When I went to ultrasound school, I didn't know any of this. This was 83. I went, lived for 5 years knowing the truth that I destroyed life within me. I couldn't have children. I almost died. They saved my life through blood transfusion. And to be reminded every day as I saw the ultrasounds and was scanning of the babies that I were not able to have. So, no. You have to fill it with love, commitment, and follow-up, and that's what's so needed and what is so important about the pregnancy centers. Not only are they showing truth, they are following up with the love and healing, which I didn't have. I didn't have that when I was exposed to it. And that is what I promised God. Use my ultrasound, heal my womb so I could have a child, and let me share the babies. And that month I conceived my first of my three boys. It's just God's grace in my life.
The ways that he redeems the brokenness in our past is just so beautiful and surprising every single time. You know, talk about this project, Window on the Womb or Window to the Womb. Tell me about that.
Oh, it's a project that started 25 years ago. And like I said, I just wanted to open up that window to the womb to show the world what these babies were doing. And that was back in 88. And the resolution and technology has continued to improve. So I went ahead and continued to develop my DVDs. And now I have a new one called Eyewitness to the Window to the Heart. And God told me to make this very simple, that he said that the ultrasound, the eyewitness of ultrasound is the window to the heart and speaks the universal language to the soul. So I put it together with soft music, the fetal development with subtitles, and I just said, Lord, let the babies and the music speak the truth. And my goal is to put this out again around the world for every country, because I don't need to translate it. The ultrasound does it. And it's continuing, like for those, like you said, that do not have ultrasound, they use my DVDs. They say, I love being here to show life. And it is. It's a tool, but it's a tool that with used with love and follow-up and counseling is can not only save lives, but heal hearts. And that's what I'm about.
Sherry Richards is our guest, and we're recording this interview from the exhibit floor at the Heartbeat International Conference in Atlanta for 2016. It's a conference that is helping organizations all around the world to uphold the cause of life, helping women and saving innocent lives one woman at a time. And Sherry's story of having an abortion and then being confronted with the truth is a story that is still playing out, because there are still women who are being withheld the truth. There are still women who are not shown an ultrasound image. There are still states where they're arguing over whether or not this legislation to provide ultrasound and to mandate it is invasive, and some of the other rhetoric that we hear around this. And, you know, Sherry, as I think about that, I remember that at the Super Bowl for 2016 or 2015, whatever, the most recent Super Bowl, there was a really fun ad with a dad watching the ultrasound screen, and the baby responds to the Dorito, and there's a delivery, and now the baby's gone from the screen, and it was very cute and dear. And there was NAREL picked that up, the National Abortion Rights Action League, or whatever their new acronym is, the pro-abortion lobby, picked that up and said that it was wrong of Doritos to use this imagery which humanized the child or the unborn. I forget it. Of course, they didn't call it a child because now they're in trouble, right? Tell me, you know, it. As you said, when you started, it was controversial. This is nothing new, that it would be controversial, and there would be those who would withhold this information, this truth, from women. How do you deal with the controversy, or how do you suggest that we can talk about this in our everyday conversations for those who think that, no, you don't need to be shown an ultrasound just because you've decided to have an abortion, et cetera? You know the rhetoric.
You know, Kim, this is what I have been going through from the day that I have been showing these ultrasounds. And just to kind of take you back, my first ultrasound that I saved was a 12-week baby that was jumping around in the womb. And I named this baby George, who happened to be a girl. And I found out that I saved her life. But this was back in 1988. So George is probably about 28 years old now.
Georgette,
whatever. My first speaking engagement was before the United States House and Senate, right after I published George, and they accused her of being an obligate parasite, and they fought over showing her. And then she went on national commercials, and they told they were told to take those commercials down because they were too graphic. And then I have just a whole article how George was thrown out of the classroom, too controversial. And I've heard this and I've heard this. And that's when I knew that when God gave me the tool of ultrasound, I had the mightiest weapon on my hands because it was cutting right through the lies. And I love it.
Obligate parasite? Now, Guy, I've not heard that terminology before. Okay, let's unpack that. What does that even mean?
That was in the United States Senate. The George was jumping around, and he said to turn that off, that I was making that baby move, or he didn't call it a baby, whatever, the blob of tissue. He just got done explaining before the George came up that at 10 weeks it was a blob of tissue, so it really exposed his lie. And so, yeah, they deny the humanity, but I believe that, again, truth gets out. And I think when we get these in the schools and Planned Parenthood comes in and says it's a blob of tissue, these young students, when I go in and they see the ultrasounds, they know. They know the truth, and that's all we have to do is just go out and give the truth and love.
Someone has been discussing, well, many people have through the years, the process of bonding between mother and child that happens before birth. Mm-hmm. And even if someone is just calling it a pregnancy and not acknowledging the humanity and the distinctness that there is a new life there, another person separate from the mother, although dependent. And I know that there can be bonding when you're doing an ultrasound. When you see the image, you know, you named the baby George, right? I mean, let's talk about this because I'm fascinated by the fact that there's something within our hearts that knows that bond, you know, is an instinct toward protection, right? I mean, talk about the bonding that happens before we even meet the child first, face to face, if you will.
You know, it's truly a miracle. And that little heartbeat begins to beat at 21 days. And just even when the parents see that, whether she's going to carry or abort or undecided, that little heartbeat shows life. And then within a couple weeks, the baby develops. You can see movement, the very first small movement, just at 8 weeks. Following conception, and then a week later, this little guy or girl has realized that he's got a big swimming pool he can play in and jump. And even though the mother doesn't feel the movement, she looks and she says, I am pregnant. This is a baby. And the father comes in, and then the family comes in, and then she has the support that she needs. It's just amazing. It's incredible because it shows life.
You know, one of the things when I speak to groups is I say that, you know, we are truly living in miraculous times because we're really the first generation to see what only God could see before, the developing life within the womb. you know, and for us to continue to pretend that we haven't seen it and that we don't know what the information is that has been given to us is just, it's a reflection of an insanity, I think, in our culture. It's, you know, and we know what that insanity serves and we know what drives it. And I don't mean to speak against people when I say that, you know, because people are deceived and coerced and desperate and exploited, and there are all sorts of reasons why it happens. But, you know, as we think about this, Sherry, you're in such a unique position to help people fall in love. You know, when I think about, like, some people still aren't aware of the 3D and the 4D ultrasound technology, where you can see facial features that, you know, and then you see the pictures after the baby's born, and it's like, wait a minute, that's that baby, that's that face. It's like you're a midwife to love, almost, as an ultrasound sonographer. Tell me about, just maybe you've got some stories, or just about that part of your work.
Well, it is, and it's, I love what I do, and I use the 3D and 4D mainly for education in my DVDs that get, you know, we can get in the schools to show fetal development. But Kim, I want to tell you another part of the story. The other part of the story is that because we do so many early pregnancies in the pregnancy centers, and because we have continued to increase abortions and STDs and earlier detection of pregnancy tests, we're finding that almost 40% of conceived pregnancies will end in miscarriage in that first trimester. And that is my goal, is not only to show the baby to the mom, but let's see if this pregnancy is viable, to see if she even needs to even consider abortion and let nature take its course, because that abortion is just never going to tell her when he's on the table and he sees on the ultrasound that it's a blighted ovum, there's no baby, that she's going to miscarriage. No, he's going to go ahead and do that abortion. She's going to live the rest of her life thinking she aborted a baby that was never there. And because I've instituted this as the indication for pregnancy centers to do ultrasound in the first trimester, women are coming forward because we're focusing on her and they want to know what is going on in my womb. So we not only are saving babies, but we're saving women from having to even make that choice.
And let's talk about that, because sometimes some of the prenatal testing that's out there is almost used as a leverage of pressure by some of the providers. And I don't know if they're looking to, you know, decrease their liability for a wrongful birth lawsuit, because parents are doing that sometimes to try to recover insurance settlements to cover their cost. I mean, I'm not judging that. I'm saying it happens, you know. And there's a lot of pressure for prenatal testing. How does ultrasound fit into that? It's not the same as the genetic testing or the testing that would reveal a Down syndrome, or, you know, how does ultrasound fit into that piece of it? I think what you've said is really important about let's see if this really is a pregnancy. What are some of the other ways that ultrasound is really helping to bring good medical practice to light in prenatal diagnoses?
Well, you know, we use amniocentesis and ultrasound guidance, and that's usually after a follow-up of an abnormal AF, you know, feed test or some kind of result, genetic result. But again, there's so many false positives that are associated with these testings. But amnio is safe under ultrasound guidance to get the information and the fluid. And I think it's good because now we have life-sustaining treatment for the unborn, and we can do surgery in the womb, and we can deliver that baby early if need to treat that baby and prepare the mother and father for the complications. So there is good. Even when we do find, and we do find it, you know, renal agenesis or anencephalic, where the babies definitely will not live after birth, But again, through the diagnosis of ultrasound and other testing, she can deliver that baby naturally and hold that baby and let that baby die naturally. We don't need to go in there and just abort.
Say more about that, because you've obviously, you have knowledge of it. This is your area of expertise. The idea, you know, that it's almost as if there's a flip side of the miracle of ultrasound, which is, and I see this when helping women after miscarriage. We've got in our generation this idea that because we can sometimes influence outcomes, we always have to. And if we weren't able to, then there must be something wrong with us as a couple. You know, there must be something wrong with me that I had this pregnancy thing go wrong or whatever. So the flip side of ultrasound is, well, we've got to do everything that we can and never let nature take its course. You know, what a generation ago was the humane thing for everybody involved, allowing nature to take its course. Difficult? Yes, of course. Empathy, understanding, kindness definitely needs to be extended to these folks, you know, and lots of room to grieve. But just give us some words about the value of allowing nature to take its course and the wisdom of God's plan in that.
Well, from the beginning, like I was saying, first trimester, with the rate of miscarriages, Kim, think about what a miracle it is that the first of all, you know, the two eggs come together, form an embryo, and travel down the fallopian tubes. It can't get stuck on scar tissue, or else it's going to get to be an ectopic where it won't survive. It has to implant in the endometrium and the rich supply. If it plants low, it's not going to survive. So many elements have to come together perfect, or that baby will not survive. That is what the beauty of it all. And sometimes, for whatever reason, things don't work out. We're not in control of that. Could be a bad egg, a bad sperm, something genetic. But we have to let it take its course. We don't need to go in there and intervene with an abortion. We can't stop a miscarriage. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If there's something wrong in the pregnancy, let it take its course. And if she miscarriages, she miscarriages. And if she delivers and it dies, it dies. But what I get angry about is that we are forced as sonographers to go and diagnose that Down syndrome baby early and earlier and earlier, so that that woman can make a decision to terminate the pregnancy. And the many false positives that are associated with these testings, it's crazy how many normal babies are being aborted because of false positive testing, because we're trying to intervene.
We've all heard the stories, and we've also seen backlash now when, you know, prominent couples will say, we've had a poor prenatal diagnosis, but we're going to allow nature to take its course. People will criticize them for that decision. It's so upside down our culture has become. Your passion is clear. Your faith is so strong and such an inspiration. Sherry, if you had the opportunity to talk to a woman who says, I don't want to see an ultrasound, I've already made up my mind. Maybe somebody's listening who is in that position right now, or will be in the future, you know, unbeknownst to them right now. What would you say to somebody about why they should go ahead and have a look at that ultrasound?
You know, I would say to you, I understand. I totally understand. If I was in a situation where I didn't feel that I could carry this baby for whatever reason, looking at an ultrasound would just be so, so hard. But as I was discussing earlier, look at it, get the truth to see if this Eve pregnancy is in the process of being viable or if it's not. And let the truth of whatever you see help you make your decision and touch your heart and begin the healing process of whatever you're going through. And there's people out there that care about you, pregnancy centers. They will not let you do this alone. But hiding it and putting it deep inside won't let the pain go away. Just let truth and love take its course through you.
Sherry Richard, our guest, her website is unborn.com, where you can see the amazing ultrasound videos that she has produced for educational purposes and really to open our eyes and our hearts, because the eyewitness of ultrasound is the window to the heart, speaks the universal language of the soul. You say that so well, Sherry. Sherry, thank you for being our guest on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim.
You can find a link to all of Sherry's materials at cradlemyheart.org, and hope that you will do so. Now stay with us. Coming up here on Faith Radio, we'll open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003, and we'll talk about some of the top stories on the life issue in the news. Stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being here and for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday evening. We really do appreciate that. I know there are a lot of entertainment and enlightenment and information opportunities for you on any given evening. Sundays seem to be blockbuster entertainment night, but we appreciate you choosing Cradle My Heart Radio, because we're here for you to try to make sense of some of the stories on the life issue in the news, and some of them are so skewed. We're going to take a look at one of those stories this week, but also you may just not be aware of some of the stories that are happening on the life issue, and so that's why we try to bring them to light with our purpose always in mind, to prevent abortion and to help those whom it has hurt. Kim Cotola, so glad that you could join us tonight. And we do have a couple of pro-life resources for you from our guest on the featured segment that started the broadcast, Sherry Richard. And she is an ultrasound sonographer who really, well, it is not an understatement to say that she really pioneered the use of this technology in helping to prevent abortion. And when we were talking, if you heard the interview, I was telling her about the Doritos ad, where we were discussing that ran in the Super Bowl last year, or at the beginning of this year. And what they actually said was NARAL objected to that ad, saying that it humanized the fetus, but then they went on to talk about mom and dad. So let's see, moms and dads have, oh, that's right, they have children, babies. A fetus is just a stage of development of a baby, then a child, then the adult that you are today. It was all harmonious. That's the way it goes. And there are some who willfully do not see it. There are some who are deceived, and there are some who will argue it for profit motive. There are lots of reasons why. But the truth is the truth. That life begins at conception, and that you didn't become an adult from an embryo. You are the embryo you once were. And ultrasound is one of the amazing tools that helps us to know this. And so Sherry's DVDs are entitled Ultrasound, A Window to the Womb and Eyewitness to the Earliest Days of Life. And she has another called Eyewitness 2, The Window to the Heart. So we will give you a copy of one of those DVDs when you call and join us with a question or a comment tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio. We are at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. These are amazing. They are amazing productions. And any family or young couple that has seen the ultrasound of their child before birth will tell you that that's our baby when they see the ultrasound. And so these videos really and DVDs really bring them to light. They really bring that reality to light. So if you'd like a copy, the ground rules are you don't have to give your name. You can call anonymously, and we would just love to hear from you at 1-800-811-3003. I also have a copy tonight of John Ensor's book, Innocent Blood, Challenging the Powers of Death with the Gospel of Life. And this is a great read. John Ensor's story, John has been a guest on this program several times, but if you don't know the story, he was pastoring a mega church in Boston, as he put it. You know, they had, I think, a total enrollment of about 200 people. It was not a mega church. And this was many years ago. And he became convicted that he was not doing his job, that he was not preaching the whole of Scripture, and particularly on the life issue. And he realized that there were several reasons why that was so. He was not giving priority to the prevention of the shedding of innocent blood. He was engaging in a false choice. And he says, if the shedding of innocent blood is not truly of central concern to us, then neither can the cross of Christ be our supreme concern. It's not a choice whether he as a pastor should be preaching the gospel or preaching a pro-life message. He said, what it is that elevates the cross to supreme importance is the shedding of innocent blood. Loving God and loving neighbor are not separate choices. One flows sweetly from the other. He also said there was a courage that was lacking. And so when he realized that he needed to preach the priority of saving innocent life, and that there was no false dichotomy between the gospel and innocent life, innocent blood. He also had to come to grips with the fact that the designs of our adversary have always been about the shedding of innocent blood. And he drew this amazing line through Egypt into the promised land. Well, so first of all, in Egypt, right, we have Pharaoh killing all the baby boys. And then in the promised land, Satan enticed Israel into child sacrifice. And Israel paid a horrible price for that, as he has brilliantly written about in his exegesis of Psalm 106. At the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we had all the mothers of Bethlehem losing their children because of Herod's wicked actions. And he says, in our midst, Satan continues to wield the same weapon today, devouring as many innocents as possible in an attempt to kill those who would otherwise grow up to advance the cause of Christ and the gospel. So as he became active on this, he went on to start pregnancy centers in Boston, start pregnancy centers in Miami, start pregnancy centers internationally. He's worked a great deal bringing the gospel and life message to Asia and China in particular. And he says one of the things that we can all do to help save the innocent is to educate ourselves, to pray, testify. If you've had an abortion, get your healing so that you can tell the truth and help others to avoid that heartache. Support by serving and supporting the pregnancy help movement. And, you know, it's this last one that is so vital, because that's become a huge part of my message as a woman who was recovered spiritually and emotionally after abortion, is that, you know, nobody needs to choose abortion. We have the pregnancy help movement. 1-800-811-3003. If you'd like a copy of John Ensor's book, Innocent Blood, or Sherry Richard's DVDs with ultrasounds, images of life before birth, 1-800-811-3003. My message isn't really possible without the pregnancy help movement. I can't just say, don't have an abortion, go and sin no more. I have to be able to say, and I can say with confidence, there's a better choice. There are people there to support you with whatever it is that you need to make a decision that upholds the cause of life, that will allow you to avoid the shedding of innocent blood. You will have support to parent. You will have support to give birth and release for adoption, make an adoption plan if parenting isn't feasible for you, because I know it isn't always. And while those choices may be difficult and sacrificial and very painful sometimes, in the case, of course, of releasing a child after giving birth and carrying them for 9 months, extremely difficult emotional decision. but there's not the blood guilt of having shed innocent blood. So the pregnancy help movement is what makes the pro-life cause a viable cause. And it's no coincidence that the abortion industry is targeting the pregnancy help movement. There's been a move that's probably 10 years old or older to smear and present negative propaganda about pregnancy help centers. And there was a really devastating piece that came out this week simply because so many people managed to take it seriously. Samantha Bee has a program on TBS late night, which means it's just late enough that she can drop F-bombs. And I don't know when that changed. I guess it was around 2013. But she just is one of the most foul-mouthed and profane performers I've ever seen. So I can't recommend that you necessarily go to the show or even watch the clip, because even just in introducing the clip, there's just a lot of really offensive language that she employs. But they did an ostensibly comedic piece about the evil of pregnancy centers. And I really appreciate the American Center for Law and Justice, because they broke this down for us in analyzing what was really going on with this so-called entertainment in late night. The title of their piece, written by Palmer Williams, is "Cheap Shot at Crisis Pregnancy Centers is Nothing More Than Big Abortion Lies Cloaked in Bad Comedy." And they point out a couple of really important things for you to know. Here's the phone number, by the way, for our pro-life resources tonight. Join us with your question, comment, 1-800-811-3003. Maybe you have a story about ultrasound, 1-800-811-3003, and the role that that might have played in a pregnancy, yours, your adult children, or a friend. It's been an amazing tool to help parents bond early with their children. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio. So the ACLG says that this hit piece said that the tactics of crisis pregnancy centers are misleading and harmful to women, that using names such as Pregnancy Care Clinic, Birthright International, Pregnancy Resources, that these names are deceitful to women. Yet by their nature, pregnancy centers help women make decisions about a pregnancy. The name points to this facet and is not in any way deceptive, but it's in fact descriptive. Instead, isn't it grossly misleading to use a name like Planned Parenthood when what you're actually doing is primarily functioning to strip motherhood from women to make sure that they aren't parents when they're seeking your services? Because they don't do prenatal care. They don't do well baby care. They don't help women with obstetrics. Planned Parenthood is extremely misleading. Later in the video, the National Abortion Federation president and CEO Vicky Saporta seemed to criticize pregnancy centers for giving away free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. That's astounding, because here's the thing. The pregnancy help movement exists as nonprofit in order to be able to offer services free of charge to the women whom they serve, women and couples that they serve. How can providing a woman with more information to make a decision be misleading? Isn't that the most empowering thing that we can do for women? I really agree with the ACLJ on this. The abortion industry continually fights against laws requiring clinics to treat women as equal human beings to be given all of the pertinent medical information about a potential abortion. But whereas pregnancy centers treat women as strong, capable people that they are, who will many times make a very different decision when armed with all of the information that they need to make an informed choice. 1-800-811-3003. The other thing, second of three really important points that the American Center for Law and Justice makes is that pregnancy centers falsify medical results to trick women into keeping their babies. They actually made that claim, and that's just straight up a lie. The NAF president claims pregnancy centers provide false medical results, pretending a woman's further along in her pregnancy than she actually is to trick her into keeping her baby. It's a ridiculous accusation. But the reality is that abortion clinics and not pregnancy centers hide irrefutable facts about fetal development, deny access to sonograms and ultrasound technology to their clients. And the thing that we need to understand about this is that even if it were true, the New York Times reported in 2013, women who were turned away from having an abortion because some states do have limits. And, you know, if a woman shows up for an abortion, for example, at 24 weeks and her state limits it after 22 weeks, a woman is said to have been turned away. Well, they published the results in 2013 of following some of these women. And they found there were some short-term economic problems the women faced. But in the main, they were extremely happy to have their children. 95% of them reported that. How is that harming women to help them make a decision that they're going to be pleased with the rest of their lives? There's more to this. We'll continue after a short break. If you want a copy of tonight's pro-life resource, Innocent Blood by John Enzer, or the DVDs that depict ultrasound development, call us now, 1-800-811-3003, here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
We're glad that you're here, and we have some great resources for you tonight. Sherry Richard is an ultrasound pioneer, and she has DVDs, including one titled Ultrasound, A Window to the Womb, or the other one, Eyewitness 2, The Window to the Heart. And we'll get you a copy of one of these DVDs or the book, Innocent Blood, by Pastor John Enzer, Reverend John Enzer, I should say, for your call with a question or comment. 1-800-811-3003. You do not have to give your name. 1-800-811-3003. Please do join us. We'd love to get these resources into your hands. We're talking about Samantha Bee's program, Full Frontal, which had a segment on last week exposing pregnancy centers as being dangerous places for women. What made them bold to produce this propaganda? Because that's what it is. That's one-sided reporting meant to, or storytelling meant to evoke a change in your attitude or your emotions or your thinking about a subject. And what made them bold, I believe, to be able to present this is that they got their talking points from the National Abortion Rights Action League. I don't know what they changed their acronym to, but that's what they started out as, and that's what they still are, NARAL. NARAL published a piece called The Insidious Threat, Crisis Pregnancy Centers Lie. And they published this last year in 2015. And Samantha Bee just picked up the talking points one by one by one. One of the biggest charges that she put forward is that pregnancy centers deceive women about the dangers of abortion. And in fact, there are no negative effects to abortion. And so they have the National Abortion Federation president on her comedy piece on Full Frontal, but they have no one from the pregnancy health movement or no one from the pro-life movement to counter what's being said about abortion. You know, the National Abortion Federation president, I don't know if she's a physician or not, but they're asking her whether or not there are negative effects of abortion. And I can tell you, if you've seen the trailer, we've talked about this, the trailer for a documentary called Hush. If you haven't seen it, you should. Just Google Hush documentary trailer. This was put together by a secular pro-choice documentarian from India who, upon arriving in the United States, wondered, why is this issue so crazy here in the U.S.? And what is the truth? Why does everybody have a different set of facts that they're working from? The abortion industry says abortion's safer than childbirth, that there is no link between abortion and breast cancer, that there's no danger to future pregnancies, and there's no increased risk of mental health problems after abortion. And yet, the pro-life movement says all of those things are present after abortion. an increased risk of breast cancer, an increased risk of pregnancy problems in subsequent pregnancies, whether it would be preterm birth or infertility, and an absolute increased risk of mental health problems. She went to the various public health agencies to try to get at the primary resource of the research. She was turned away and treated as if she was some sort of a trespasser at the National Cancer Institute, trying to examine the breast cancer link. She found at the National Institute of Health that it was a completely politicized decision that made them say that there was no increased risk of preterm labor and birth. And she also found that in the case of mental health, there is abundant evidence and abundant peer-reviewed research that indicates that there are many mental health challenges and risks to women after abortion. Her conclusion was that she still thought abortion should stay legal. This will tell you where her bias is, but that the pro-choice side was really not in full command of all of the facts or all of the research. So the idea that the pregnancy help movement is lying to scare women is just wrong. The other thing that I think is really important for us to know and to understand is this charge that pregnancy centers convince women to keep their babies and then disappear. And this was one of the saddest things about this. Again, was it comedy or was it reporting? Because they had the National Abortion Federation president, and then they had a woman who had been to a pregnancy center and said that she was hustled by the people she encountered there and that they coerced her into giving birth. And then, sadly, she said, knowing she was going to be on national television, that if she had to do it over again, she would have aborted her son, although she said she loved him. I cannot imagine the day that her son will come upon this content online, because, you know, everything lives forever online, and have to come to grips with his mother making that statement for a television crew. For what? For the sake of comedy? She said that she was abandoned by the pregnancy center that she worked with, but I know for a fact that that is not the norm, nor is that the case if it indeed did happen that way for her. That's the whole point of the pregnancy help movement, is that they understand what's hanging in the balance of this decision is whether or not someone will actually support and come alongside a woman so that she can mother the child already growing within her, so that she can do the right thing and parent the child with the child's father if he can be reached and they can be given the resources and the marriage enrichment that they would need to be in order to be able to accomplish it if they don't have those life skills yet. I really applaud the American Center for Law and Justice taking this on, and I hope you'll go to their website, which is just aclj.org, where they have a petition that you can sign. And it simply says that you want pregnancy centers to be protected from these lies. That life is significant, that it has purpose and values, at value, that is. All life has value. And that TBS, by airing this, NARAL, by providing the talking points, the National Abortion Federation, that you will lend your voice and lend your heart to saying, you know, I know this to not be true. If you know it to not be true, I certainly hope that you would sign that petition. Maybe you have a personal experience of having been helped by a pregnancy center. You know, the pregnancy centers are the place that we will generally refer those who are in need of post-abortion healing. That's where I received my post-abortion healing, through a group called Conquerors in the Minneapolis and St. Paul area, an experience I wouldn't trade for anything. Because not only did I finally resolve the grief of having lost a child to abortion, but I was absolutely welcomed in love after the guilt was lifted through the reassurance of the faith of what Christ has done for us. I really hope that you'll go to cradlemyheart.org and look on the right menu bar for all of the resources that are there to help you, including, yes, the option line and other outreaches through the pregnancy help movement. Please don't fall for the lies. Pregnancy help movement needs your help now more than ever. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you being here. Up next week, we're going to speak with Abby Johnson. And you may know her name, and if not, you'll be pleased to meet her. Go to cradlemyheart.org to learn more and leave us a question or comment there. And we'll see you next time. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.